Anxiety and worry are a constant part of people's lives today. So as we turn to this topic, let's pray. Father, as we look at anxiety, as we look at worry, and what your word has to say about it, just work in our hearts. Help us to handle anxiety, handle worry, and look to you. Focus on you to find the answers. Jesus' name. Amen. So, we see anxiety, we see worry all over the place in society. We see it with sports stars, Dusty Martin, who's won a Brownlow medal in AFL, the top award in the sport, was receiving treatment last year for anxiety and for depression. Greg English opened up on his battle with anxiety and depression after rugby league. And it's not just sports stars. Pop stars. Zayn Malik cancelled a concert in Dubai because of the pressure of singing alone. Selena Gomez, returning after taking a break, had a really supportive team. She'd not sung for 2 years. She was supported by Taylor Swift, among others, and needed the support because she was so edgy about returning to stage. But it's not just stars that get edgy, that suffer from anxiety, from worry. It's a part of our lives. Various of my friends have psychologists to help deal with anxiety and worry. But they're also nothing new. They're a part of our lives. They're a part of our society's life. But in today's passage, Jesus speaks of ways in which Christians can avoid, can reduce worry and anxiety. And he starts by speaking about our possessions. Verse 19. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and when thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. We've got a choice. We can put possessions here at the center of our lives. Make sure we keep hold of them, that they're looked after, thieves don't take them, that everything about them's perfect while we live. Or we can be more interested in living for God, getting treasures in heaven, which, because they're under God's protection, there's no such worries. And further, they even last forever. But Jesus points out something even more important to do with this. Verse 21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. It's a heart issue. It's where we belong. What do we really value? Do we really want to be with God? Do we really want relationship with God? Relationship with Jesus? Or are we simply after the possessions in this world? Because where our focus is, what we value, is shown by our actions, by our focus in this life. Jesus goes on to say that where we look, where our eyes are, reflect our character. Verse 22, he says, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. Then the light within you is darkness. How great is that darkness? when we're driving, we're supposed to keep our eyes on the road. The number of times I've been in a car when my mother's told my father, you keep your eyes on the road and we'll look at whatever's going on the side. Because where our eyes are is where we're heading. We can see what's happening, where we're going. And the same's true in life. If our eyes are always focused on possessions, physical things, it means we'll forget about God and His kingdom. We won't reflect it. We'll not represent it. And probably also, even if we got there, we wouldn't value it. We wouldn't enjoy it because we wouldn't share its values. Jesus goes on to talk about which master do we serve. If you're in the kingdom of God, you serve God, you represent His values, you enjoy doing it. You don't serve yourself. In contrast, someone who definitely served money was Charlie Chaplin, the comedian. He earns $10,000 a week. Now, if you think that sounds a lot, in today's money, it's more like $250,000 a week. I think we can all say that that's rather a lot. But when he was going out for dinner, he'd rarely bring his wallet, and he'd never foot the whole bill. And it's not just with dinner that he skimped on things. When building his house, he borrowed the movie set carpenters to help with construction, so he could save money. There's one small issue with this. The house eventually started to fall apart. It became known as the breakaway house. Yes, Charlie Chaplin served money. It even meant the house he built did not last. Now, while I certainly hope we wouldn't be that stupid about paying for things, there's a more important question here. We have to work out who our master is. Do we serve God or do we serve money? Because we can't serve both. As Jesus says in verse 24, no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. He cannot serve both God and money. Jesus is very clear about this. The real question here is, what's at the centre of your existence? If it's a choice between money and possessions or God, which would you choose? Because it's clear he's saying both is not an option. Love and hate used here is a comparison. It isn't saying not to use things like money wisely. But it is saying that what you love, what you represent, is God's kingdom. And it's therefore asking the question of which one takes precedence, which one will you pick? Because if you love what is God's kingdom, then that is where you'll want to spend your money. Now, talking about money, I want to be clear on this, because it's not spending what you don't have. I still remember a student, the first time she had significant money, giving too much to charity and not having enough to live on when she started uni. Now, Well, her heart was in the right place. That is definitely not what this is suggesting. What this is saying is it's a case of realizing what really matters and then working out how we use what we have accordingly. And that should reflect in our use of money. A good question to ask is how much of our non-essential expenditures spent on God's kingdom. And what does that show about our values? Jesus continues in verse 25. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? So Jesus goes on to speak about worry and not worrying. But there's one word that's incredibly important at the start of this. Therefore, our attitude to possessions, to money, affects how much we worry. The reason, ultimately, that Christians can have peace and security is nothing to do with money or possessions. It's all in Jesus paying the price for our sin. As the first hymn said, and can it be? Because it's talking about the Son of God dying for us so we can have peace. It's talking about restored relationship with God. That's where our peace and security is. Jesus dying and then rising again so we can share a new life with him. Ultimately, our dwellings within heaven. All of us actually have one final move of home. And I know the issues around house moves, having moved 3 times in a year when I arrived here. But the great thing about this final move is that this move should have no stress. We don't take any of our earthly possessions. We don't have to worry because we're at peace with God. We're in his hands. That's what we look forward to. And that's a hope nothing in this world can take away. Now, Jesus goes on to talk about some of the things we can worry about, to talk about food and clothes, and speaks of them in the context of worry, saying, hoarding of them's not something, as Christians, we need to do. But we can trust our Heavenly Father to feed us, to clothe us. Yes, we should be wise with money so we can eat and drink, but that's not our focus, because we can trust God with our needs. Now, some of you may have watched the Big Bash cricket. And one of the things that I have sometimes wondered is how the commentators sorted what they wear, how they had to look. I don't like dressing up particularly. I'd hate having to work out how to look good for every match. And generally, they look immaculate, but they're actually clothed by one of the sponsors. They don't have to do it. It's looked after for them. They don't have to worry about it. And Jesus says that we can lay our worries about food, about clothing on God, that he looks after the plants and the birds, that he'll also look after us. Worry comes out of where our eyes are, how much we're prepared to trust God with our situation. The more we see him as much bigger than our needs, the less we'll worry. as Jesus puts it in verse 26, "Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life?" I'm sure you'd agree it's certainly true that we can't add a single hour of our life to our lives by worrying. In fact, worry and stress have been shown to negatively affect our health. But as much as Jesus says, don't worry, let's be honest, Christians do struggle with anxiety. Some of us do get stressed. Many of us worry. And it doesn't matter what we're told, the worry's still there. However, what this is saying is the more we put our focus on God, the more we trust him, the more we'll see him as sovereign. And that means the more we'll rely on our relationship with him and make that central. And the less we'll worry about the issues. It's not that the issues aren't real or sizable. It's that our God's so much greater. And secondly, that we're already assured of our place in the one home that matters. Paul actually deals with the same issue, worry and anxiety, in very different language, but the message is the same. In Philippians 4, he says, "The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." We will face tough times. We'll face issues where we feel we're not in control. But even in those times, our Heavenly Father is. And if we keep our eyes on him, he'll see us through it. We need to seek him and keep our focus on him. Verse 31 in Matthew, Jesus goes on saying, "So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows you need them. But first seek his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." We need to keep a focus on God. In the 1990s, the best triple jumper in the world was Jonathan Edwards. But he was also a Christian. And as a Christian, it was God, it was his relationship with God, his love of Jesus, that was more important to him than anything else. And the other competitors knew it. In 1996, he entered the Olympic final as the clear favourite, almost a write-in for the gold medal, but finished second behind Kenny Harrison. Now, some saw this as disastrous, but because of Edward being a Christian, he wasn't as fixated on winning as some other athletes. He should have won gold. Now, while Jonathan disputes that, and certainly Kenny Harrison's jump is the furthest ever in an Olympic final, but the fact that he had a reputation for keeping his eyes on God and his kingdom rather than being totally focused on a gold medal, that he kept that reputation with his friends, surely that's more important than anything it showed the importance of all Jesus has done for us, for him, of God's kingdom in his life. But which would you pick? The gold medal or being a part of God's kingdom? Now, I'd agree that sometimes you can get both. And Jonathan Edwards did win a gold medal eventually at the following Olympics. But Jesus is saying, where is our focus? Is it on the gold medal or God's kingdom? Because our focus as people shouldn't be on the food and drink and clothes, but that we have a Father who's the God of the universe, who can provide all that we need. So rather than chase after larger and larger paychecks, or all the food that we can eat, or living in the most perfect living environment possible, and doing everything possible to achieve it, or wanting the best car imaginable, being the best sportsman, our focus should be on seeking God's kingdom and his righteousness in our lives, knowing that as we're a part of his family, he will provide for us. That's how we demonstrate God's kingdom to those around us. But let's be clear. Jesus is not saying we won't face trouble or problems. I think all of us have faced issues through our lives, whether it be the more minor ones, perhaps dealing with telephone companies, which isn't pleasant. But there are more major. Moving house is certainly one of the most stressful. There's the current pandemic. For some people, it's even putting the next meal on the table. They're real issues. It's not that they don't exist. Or even that they're not scary. It's that we have a God who's far bigger than them. A God we can trust with them. Because he is sovereign and he loves us. Jesus finishes this section by emphasizing that trouble can cause, that can cause worry will be a part of our lives, saying in verse 34, therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Jesus is saying we will face trouble. There will be difficulties. He's not denying worry, but he is saying to take things as they come, not worry about the what ifs that might happen in the future. Yes, make wise decisions, but you don't have to worry about that. And that when we face trouble, we can face it knowing we have the God of the universe as our Father. That he's the one who provides. So we need to trust him with it. So, let's pray. Father, we thank you that you're a God who provides for us, that we can trust. So help us to keep our focus on you, to know that you're sovereign over our lives, that we already have a place in the one home that matters, and that therefore, all we have to do is seek your kingdom, and that your peace will flood in to kill our worries. Jesus' name. Amen.